Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast, proudly presented by MAP. Before we get underway, if you could all hit subscribe on however you consume your podcasts, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, whatever it is, hit subscribe. It's going to go a long way to helping us grow. If you could also like the content on our socials, give us a follow, even share this content on your own social platform, it will go a really long way to helping us grow. So thanks for listening to the podcast, and we really hope you enjoy this episode. Today, our special guest is the winner of the Down Under Classic last night, Mr. Caleb Ewan. Welcome, Caleb.
Hi.
Good start.
Yeah, thanks for the intro.
So we're just lying on a bed. This is pretty casual, this one. You just resting up for tomorrow?
Yeah, it's I think the stage tomorrow is going to be a little bit shorter, but only, I think, 3.5K shorter. Because they're just taking out the local lap. So, yeah, I think we're in for a scorcher. And, yeah, it'll be pretty tough, but should be a sprint.
How was last night with the new team? It all looked like it kind of went to plan for you.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, obviously it was good to get the win. And it was, yeah, like you said, it was the first time we really rode together as a team. And on a course like that, it's really hard to do a lead out just because there's so many corners and you're getting chopped from, you know, like every corner there's someone coming underneath or around the outside and breaking up the train. So it's really hard to stay together. But anyway, we knew that from the start and we said in the meeting just to make sure Roger and I in good position in those last few corners and then we can kind of do our thing from there. And that's exactly what they did. And then, yeah, Roger was able to do his job perfectly, which meant I can do my job perfectly. So in the end, it was, yeah, a perfect start.
Do you want to talk us through the last lap? Because there was a few crashes with a couple laps to go. Then on the second last corner, blokes went down probably just behind you.
Yeah.
Was it pretty hectic?
Yeah. Yeah, that race is always pretty hectic. Yeah, especially in those closing laps. Yeah, I think a lot of guys are trying to test themselves out, especially the sprinters, and everyone wants to go for a win there. So it's all pretty hectic, and it's easy to find yourself out of position as well in a circuit like that. And I think that's what we saw yesterday in that last crash. I think some of the Quick-Step guys were out of position and tried to move up maybe a bit too quickly through that corner. And yeah, I mean, we're already going fast through it. And then if you come with extra speed, then it's almost a recipe.
Exactly,
yeah.
What they did.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it was pretty hectic, but I always felt like I was in good position. So, yeah, it didn't really affect me too much.
And Roger gave you the perfect lead out. Had to chase down Oss there, but it all looked like you had it under control.
Yeah. Yeah, he, you know, I think that was his... He was showing his experience there. He stayed very calm and knew that he had the power to bring Oss back there. So, yeah, he stayed calm because I'd lost the wheel because there was a Quick-Step guy that came between Roger and I, and then he lost the wheel. So then I had to close that gap, and luckily Roger had seen that I wasn't on the wheel yet. He waited for me, and then once I made contact with him again, then he started chasing down Oss. And then, yeah, it was a pretty perfect one from him.
And you had it pretty comfortably against Sagan. You never felt like he was going to come over the top. He's kind of stepped out and then kind of started to go backwards again.
Yeah, I knew the finish was going to be a difficult one because it's a hard one to judge because you come down the hill with so much speed and then it kind of kicks back up. And we had a headwind also. And last year, I think we had the same kind of conditions. I had a headwind in the front straight there. So last year I went too early, and when it kicked up, when I started dying, you really noticed it because, yeah, you're losing all your speed.
Yeah.
There's guys coming fast from behind because they're in the slipstream, and it's just so easy to get rolled. So I really wanted to make sure that I timed my sprint well. And yeah, and then this sprint, so I think I timed it pretty well, and I felt like I was really, I guess, powering all the way to the line. And yeah, I felt him there, but when I looked underneath my legs, I could see that he wasn't actually coming around yet, so yeah, that was good.
Let's talk a little bit about the back half of 2018. Meant to do the TDF.
Yeah.
You didn't do it.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I did San Remo, and then I had a fair bit of time off racing. I had an altitude camp in America, then straight from there to Tour of California, where I didn't win a stage, but I was pretty consistent. I think I got maybe 5 podiums. So I was pretty consistent, and that was with the, I guess you could say, pretty much a Tour de France field. Gaviria was there, Sagan was there, Kittle was there. So there was a lot of good sprinters there. I was fairly consistent. It was my first race back, so I wasn't expecting to, do great, and I just come from an altitude camp. But anyway, that happened, and my next race was Tour of Slovenia. The first stage, had a big crash, 1K to go. Couldn't sprint there, obviously. Then the next day was another sprint. I crashed again, about 30Ks to go, which wasn't ideal. Anyway, I got third in that sprint, so I didn't win. And then, then we were about 2.5 weeks out from the tour or something. It was about a week before I was supposed to leave for the tour. I just got a call saying that I wasn't going to do it because I hadn't performed well enough. They didn't lead, like, when we had our conversations about my goals for the year, they never said my goal was to win at California or my goal was to win at Tour of Slovenia. They said my goal was to win at the tour. So that takes certain preparation to be going good at the tour. And if you're flying at the tour, you're not going to be flying in Tour of California, or you're not going to be flying when you're on the ground with 1 kilometer to go in a race. So I don't know what they expected, really, because, I was doing what I was told to do, to be in top condition at the tour, and I was on track to be in top condition at the tour. And then in the end, it was, I guess, a big waste because I had my good condition, and then I ended up having to take a few weeks off and just kind of regroup and get ready again for the next half of the season. It was hard to come back after that because that was my big goal of the season. And then going to the other races, they're big races, but it's like you're going to much smaller races, and the motivation wasn't as good. But I still wanted to win, and I came close a lot of times in the second half of the season. There was times where we didn't catch the break, and I don't know, I just felt like all year I just like couldn't catch a break. Then after that, it's just like I was always second or third, and then my last race of the team was the last stage of Britain, and I still hadn't had a win, and so it was nice to finish on a high, and just kind of get the confidence back up again, and you believe you can still win again. And as a sprinter, it's so important that you get wins to keep your confidence high.
So it was a cold call. You just thought you were packing your bags, and then next minute you're not. How flat are you? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that's professional sports. It's just, that's what it is. It's cutthroat, really. And at the end of the day, the team pays me and they get to make those decisions. I don't get to make them. I just have to try to do what I'm told. And that's what I always try to do. Like, my first goal of the season was to do well at Milan-San Remo. And the preparation that I had to do for that meant that I wasn't going to be flying it down under or UAE Tour or Abu Dhabi like I was the year before. But I think, if anything, that should have proven to the team that if they told me I'm supposed to target a race, then I'm really going to target it, and I'm going to do what's
San Remo.
Yeah, I'm going to do what's necessary for me to be good in those races. And if that means sacrificing maybe some other races that I can get wins in, then yeah, so be it, because that's what they've asked of me. And in my mind, I was doing everything that they like everything that they asked of me, and I was getting ready for the tour, and yeah, anyway, this is how it goes sometimes.
You still had some pretty good things happen though last year. So you won at London, your last race, and then you got married to your lovely wife, Ryan, who's sitting here with us today.
Yeah. I guess if that was a real low light of my year, it really came back up then when I got married. And I guess something like that really helps you through, because it's like, there's more excitement to come.
And life's just not about bike
racing.
Exactly,
yeah. There's definitely much more important things in life than just racing. So, and that's one of them. And yeah, it ended up being a great year because I got married. Then now my wife is pregnant. Just found out we're going to have a daughter.
How exciting.
I know. I'm going to have a little girl, so... Yeah.
Exciting. We're breaking the big news on the podcast. Yeah. Gender reveal.
Yeah. Just found out the gender about 1 hour ago, so.
That's exclusive.
Gender reveal, yeah. Very exclusive, so. Anyway, so this year is, yeah, it's going to be a big year. I'm going to go from about 50 race days last year to, I think, about 85 this year.
Wow.
Going to become a dad.
Just a quick one before we get on to 2019. How did it come about, the Lotto Soudal gig? When did your manager Jason start chasing things up or start looking elsewhere?
I guess it was towards the end of 2017 that we were coming into the contract year, and obviously him and I start talking about, yeah, should I stay or should I leave? What's going to be best for my career? I think it definitely would have been an easy option to stay in Mitchelton because I'm comfortable there. I have friends there. I know the guys and I know the staff, and it's easy to stay there. But, I am not looking for comfort. Like I'm looking, as an athlete, you only have a short career. So I want to get the best out of myself. And then we kind of had to ask the question, will I get the best out of myself there, or do I need to move to do that? And we came up with probably going to need to move, because just the way the team was moving into more of a GC team, it's like you could kind of... You knew something like what happened last year was going to eventually happen at some stage, because their preference is to go for GC and not sprints. And with the guys that they have for GC doing so well, and saw with Simon last year winning the Volta, they really have now guys that can win overall. And when they know that, they're always going to favor a guy to win GC then. Bringing a sprinter, because once you bring a sprinter, you have to bring a lead out guy, and then there's less guys that can help the GC rider. And it's also, when I do go to a grand tour, you do need more than just one guy helping you. So it was kind of, in the end, it was probably never going to work. It would, yeah. So we decided that we're probably going to have to move teams. And it was at a time where we knew Lotto were pretty interested, and yeah, it's kind of, when you think about it, it's a good match for me, because they're a team that don't want to have riders going for GC and Grand Tours. They've got guys that can go for GC and maybe 1 week races and stuff like that, but they're a team that really wants to target classics and have so much experience in sprints. And that's kind of the path that they want to keep going down, is sprinting and classics. And that's the stuff that I want to do well in. So it was kind of a perfect match for me. And then I went from there.
Obviously, the year's got off to a good start with a win already at the Down Under Classic. And then the proper TDU starts tomorrow. You're chasing some stages here?
Yep. I would say Tour Down Under, it's an important race for me to do well in, because it's my, I guess you could say it's my home tour. And it's a race that I'm, I guess, naturally motivated for. So I've been working pretty hard to be in good condition here. I had a lot of time off after the season last year, so it was a bit of a different preparation for me. And I also stayed in Europe a lot later. Mm-hmm. So I did the training camp with the guys, and that finished on the 18th of December, so it finished quite late. So I only got to Australia on the 27th of December. So that's usually that's a fair bit later than what I'm used to. So I was going to be interested to see like how my body would adapt to the heat, and if that was an advantage that I had in the past, that I'd come home earlier and trained in the heat, or if it was just kind of maybe a myth, if that helped. But I mean, we'll see. I think it definitely doesn't hurt coming back and training in the heat a bit more, but
tomorrow we'll find out with 40 odd degrees.
Exactly, yeah, we'll find out. Maybe it's not a myth at all. Well, actually, it's not a myth. Like it definitely helps.
Of course.
If you were preparing for this race, then it's definitely better to come home back here like a lot earlier. But I'm just trying to see how late I can actually leave it. And now being a European team, they have their camps a lot later in December. I'll probably have to, come back later on in the year usually. But yeah, we'll see how that goes, and I hope to at least get a stage win here. But if not, there's lots of races that we're gonna be going for, and it's elite arts, really like a work in progress. Doesn't happen overnight, and
yeah.
So that was kind of, I guess you'd say it's a bit rare that it happened like it did last night in the race, but we'll see. Hopefully it works sooner than later.
Yeah. Then after TDU, you're heading to Melbourne for the Towards Zero race, and then also onto the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race.
Yeah.
Is that the second time you're going to the Cadel race?
It's the third time, I think. Yeah, this will be the third time. I did it the first 2 years that it was on, and then I've missed it the last few years. More because we had guys in Mitchelton, like Impey and Gero, that the course really suited.
Mm-hmm.
But I always knew that maybe it was a course that would suit me as I kind of got older and a bit stronger maybe. And so I wanted to do it this year because, I think I'm another year stronger, and I think I can definitely get over those climbs if the race is raced a certain way. And it's the only classic that I'll be able to do before Milan-San Remo as well. So I think it would be a good kind of preparation race for that. I'm looking forward to having a go there. And it's the only, World Tour Classic in Australia. So, that would be a nice one to win.
So you think that you can get a result there? You think that if the race is raced a certain way, you can be there? Because quick guys have won there before.
Yeah.
Groups of 20 or 30 come to the finish.
Yeah. Like we saw last year, Viviani was second there. There's sprinters that do get to the end. It's one of those races that can really go either way. There could be, like you said, like a bunch of 20 or 30 guys there in the end. Or it could be like 10 guys and two guys off the front and really split up. So it's one of those courses that really is dependent on the weather to which way the race will actually go. So if the weather's in my favor, I think I can definitely get around there. But it's definitely, I wouldn't say I'm going in there like guaranteeing to myself that I'll get there at the end. It has to be raced a certain way for me to get there.
And is the Towards Zero Race Melbourne a good race to try and dial in the lead out? Is that going to be an opportunity for you guys to have a good practice there?
Yeah, that's another one that we can really work on the lead out. It's good to have that race like midweek because
It's a long time between TDU and Cadell's.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be good to get things going again that day, and it's another opportunity to practice the lead out and just to try to fix things that maybe if we make mistakes this week, we had to correct them there, because the Cadell's race, we won't actually probably be doing a lead out there.
I don't imagine all the big boys will be getting around.
I don't think so. So
sorry, gents.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the team that we have here, that is actually quite strong. So I reckon we will have a few guys left in the end there. But I wouldn't say we'll be doing a lead out as such.
And Roger's going home, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going back for the 6 days, so we won't have him. But I don't know if he would have gotten up those hills. So, yeah.
And the rest of 2019, you said that at the training camp, you just told the team pretty much what races that you wanted to do, and they listened. So what's the race program at the moment going to be for you?
All right. So I'll go through my whole year now. So I'm starting here at Tour Down Under. Well, I started Bay Crits Nationals, Tour Down Under, Cadell's Race, and do UAE Tour, and do Paris-Nice, Milan-San Remo, Tour of Turkey, Giro, Tour of Belgium, Tour de France, ride London Classic, Hamburg Classic, Bink Bank Tour, Tour of Britain, and then hopefully Worlds at the end. So,
do you think Worlds suits you? It looks like a pretty tricky course, but on the right day, I reckon you could probably bounce around there.
Yeah, I think at the end of this year, it could go either way. I could come out of the year really strong after doing a lot of races, or I could be absolutely cooked.
What is it, 80-odd race days?
85 race days.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a lot. So if I come out of it stronger, then I think the course could suit me, and I think I've proven myself over a long distance now. So yeah, I guess it's really up to the selectors if they think I'm capable of not or not. But I have put my hand up to say that I want to do it. So yeah, I guess it's up to them really.
There's going to be a few family logistical problems come the end of July. Ari, the arrival date of the baby is what, on the Champs-Élysées TDF stage?
Yeah, well, we didn't.
What's the plan?
Didn't
there?
Plan it too well, because when we were planning the baby, we Googled the Tour de France date, and they actually had the wrong dates on Google. So we thought we were going to be fine, and then someone said to us, oh, I'm pretty sure that the Tour de France finished on the 28th, because we thought it finished on the 21st. And we're like, no, we Googled it, and Googled it again, and Google had corrected itself.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it was always going to be tight, but now it's even tighter. So yeah, not ideal logistically, but we'll manage.
What's the protocol in place that you stay at the race at all costs?
Yeah. I mean, that's my job, so that's what I get paid to do. So I guess I'm staying there, but I'm hoping if it does come early, I'll be around. The last week of the Tour de France is within 4 or 5 hours drive of Monaco, so
maybe just catch a chopper back to Monaco.
Or could catch a chopper back. Look, we'll figure it out when the time comes. Hopefully, the baby comes when I get home. So we'll plan for that first, and then if something else happens, then we'll have to think of another thing. But yeah, don't know how it's going to work. But yeah, like I said, we'll figure it out.
Caleb, good luck with this week.
Thank you.
Down Under into Cadell Evans Gradation Road Race, and for the rest of your season. It sounds like a busy year for you, but new team, you look good, everything seems good, so all the best, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Thanks again to MAP for all their support in supporting this podcast. If you can subscribe, like, share the content, that is all going to be great for helping us grow. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.